The Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres, solutions for every field. Welcome back to Sports Nightly. I'm Jessica Cootie and excited to be joined by the head football coach, Matt Roll. Coach, thanks for being here with us. I just mentioned Acres. They were the sponsor of the tractor pull at the Husker games. That was a pretty fun event.
I thought that was was one of the most exciting things I saw. You know, we did all that sort of like, hey, let's make sure we come out of this healthy. And all of a sudden I saw those guys pulling those tractors. I was like, man, please stay healthy through this. But there were some strong guys who want to do that.
Well, how you been? Obviously, at the conclusion of spring football, you can't recruit right now. You've been able to get out and about, and are you having a little fun these days?
Oh yeah. I mean, we still have a bunch of guys. But a bunch of guys are home for finals. So I just saw a bunch of guys down in the weight room, so they're working hard still, finishing up school, and the coaches are on the road. They're grinding it out, and then we'll have official visits starting in June. So that's really my time to get around the families and recruits, but. We had the Big Ten meetings this week and see what the lay of the land is in football. But yeah, we're having a ton of fun right now. When we do get out, it's great to be able to get out and show the Husker brand all over the country and make sure people know that we're here and we're not going anywhere.
So you went to the Kentucky Derby and you also were at NASCAR. We saw some videos of that over the weekend. You said you and Julie are big NASCAR fans. How did that come about?
Yeah, Julie and I first got married. One of the first places we went to was Cullowhee, North Carolina. And so North Carolina is obviously a racing hotbed. So that's what you kind of did on, Sundays after church. You put on NASCAR in the off season and watched it. And then they moved up to Temple. And, up there they have Dover's there, Pocono's there. So we just kind of got into it. And then we moved back to North Carolina and had some racers live around us. And saw a former player of mine who works on one of the pit crews. So some great connections. So we went to the race the last 2 years, So we went last year to Kansas, and then this year went down to Kansas and met a bunch of great people. So, fun to live in this part of the country where there's so much to do.
What's your favorite sport to watch that's not football?
Oof, such a great question. I love wrestling. So, like, if I had to choose, go something live, I'd go to wrestling. I love college wrestling. Obviously, we do it here at a really high level. I like watching women's volleyball live. If you're talking about pro sports, on TV, I like watching the NBA playoffs. I like watching the NHL playoffs. And I really like Premier League soccer. Like I like waking up and, it's a Sunday morning, and they're playing over there. So I'm a fan kind of pretty much of everything. If there's cricket on or something like that, I might watch that. So.
Well, you went to the WWE, too. That was fun to see you with Dylan and Emmett. But on your current roster, who would most likely make the best WWE superstar?
Oof. I think Teddy Prohaska at 6'10" would be really good. But I think Lutowski's got, the look. Uh-huh. He's got, the voice. He'd be in character all the time. I think Lutowski would be really, really strong.
I like it. Well, talking to football now, at the close of spring ball and practices and all of that, what did you learn about your group? What did you like about what you guys accomplished throughout the spring football practices?
I think we're a deep group. We have a lot of guys that are competing for jobs. Not everyone, especially, we were talking about seniors the other day, and there's not a ton of seniors. It's kind of a middle, a lot of sophomores, a lot of juniors, some seniors. And so I think we have a lot of talent spread around, and there's going to be a lot of competition through spring. When you have a lot of competition, that also means you have a lot of depth when it's the right type of competition. And so I think we'll have a lot of depth. We'll have a chance to play a lot of guys. So I was pleased with how we came out.
Just the little bit that I got to see, and then obviously the Husker games, seemed like a really competitive group. They're pretty fiery. They like to compete.
Yeah, I think if I told them, hey, line up and we're gonna run 5 40-yard dashes for conditioning, they might, kind of shuffle over there. If I said, hey, we're gonna see who the fastest guy is, I think they would run for a day. They're just they love to compete, they love to play, they love to challenge each other, and so it's fun to be around. Whether it's even just at the end of it, you think about what we did at the end with the fastest man competition. There was nothing scientific. That was just like back in the playground, just relay races almost, and they loved it.
Everybody wanted that title. And even the guys that were not racing wanted to make sure their guys got that title.
Yeah. And, I know the Florida guys wanted the Florida guys to win. I know Heinrich wanted to put on for Nebraska. Heinrich, probably pound for pound, he's probably the pound for pound fastest guy. I mean, obviously, Ja'Cory won it all, but we have some guys who can really roll. I mean, we put GPSs on them, and those guys were all approaching like 23 miles an hour, so they were, you know, they were definitely rolling.
Wow. Well, you know, a lot of the conversation and the topic over the spring, and not just here, but across college football, was that roster limit going down to 105, and I know that's still up in the air for Husker fans listening. And where do you stand in that? And at this point, kind of what's your approach when you don't really know exactly what it's going to look like?
Yeah, there. You know, what I've learned a long time ago is when it comes to like the conferences and scheduling and NCAA, it doesn't really matter. There's no reason even to take a stance because it's going to be decided. It's outside my hands. It's someone else's job. And so I'll just do the best I can to minimize the collateral damage on the guys on our roster. Guys that have been here that want to be here, I'll do everything I can to keep them here. But even if they grandfather it in, it's not going to be like it's forever. You know, it's still trending down towards 105. So, you know, we'll have to trend to 105 if they do grandfather it in. But I'd certainly like to keep as many of the guys who participated in the spring with us. I'd sure like to keep them out here because they're wonderful young men. They work really hard, and I think they deserve a chance if they went through the mat drills and all the stuff that we do. I feel like they deserve a chance to go out there and represent their team.
Since you've been here, compared to other places, you have just not seen a lot of guys enter the transfer portal. It seems like it's getting harder and harder for guys to seem to really like it here and just all that's to offer here at Nebraska.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, when if someone does leave, it's usually, you know, because the situation isn't right maybe for them specifically, like, hey, I'm not going to play, or, you know, hey, I've played and now I want to go have a different role somewhere else. Or, you know, there's always something like maybe like that. You know, we had a couple guys leave in the winter, you know, lost their position coach, and they, you know, maybe a little bit nervous about that. I think even Keona talked about just the uncertainty they were nervous about. But for the most part, I mean, this is a wonderful place. And so for the most part, guys aren't going to leave except for, hey, you know, coach, I want to get on the field, or I want to do things the right, you know, I want to be able to, you know, change kind of the way I'm being used because I'm, you know, I've been 4 years, 5 years. And so I have no problem when a person is trying to find something that we can't offer. I don't like it when guys leave because, you know, another school bought them away or something like that. So we try to minimize that. And I think for the most part, you know, we've kept them. And I think it is, to your point, it is a great statement about, you know, University of Nebraska, living in Nebraska and Husker athletics and the football team.
Throughout your time, just when you first started recruiting and now to where you are here, and a lot of people want to make comparisons to where you've been in the past, but how has that evolved and changed for you when you go about targeting the guys that you can bring in here to Nebraska compared to maybe where you've been in the past?
Well, I mean, we can certainly recruit a higher caliber of player here than we ever could anywhere else. And that's no shade at those places. Those are wonderful places. But, I mean, we were at a group of five school at Temple, and we had a ton of great players. We were at, you know, a Big 12 school, which is a wonderful conference, but, you know, certainly not, you know, what kind of how college football has changed now, you know. So here we are, we're in the Big 10, we're in the premier conference, and we can recruit, you know, at the level that we want. So recruiting has changed. There's now a financial component to it. So there's a lot of things that go into, hey, who wants to be where, but we can certainly get, you know, the guys that we need.
Just this summer now and going into the OTAs, what are you looking for out of the guys to get accomplished here when you can get on the field with them a little bit here over this next month?
Yeah, I think when we get out there in June, you know, we're really trying to teach them. You know, each guy has one or two things that they want to improve upon, so we're trying to work with them in a very deliberate manner. You know, we want to obviously go out there and have fun. You know, we want to, you know, have some competition when we're allowed to. But it's also still a strength. It's also still a conditioning time of year as well. So we have to be really smart that we're giving them football in doses. And after 3 or 4 weeks, you know, then we'll turn the team over to the team. And the leadership on this team has to lead the way. They have to decide as a group, like, who do we want to be? You know, how good do we want to be? And then do the things, you know, do the things that are unrequired, you know, do the extra things. I think that's a step that we have to take. And so I can't be the one doing that. You know, the coaches can't be the ones doing that. It's got to come from the players. So summer to me really determines the type of year that you have.
Have you felt just the more that you've got guys that now have been with you for several seasons, the more that has come into fruition and taken shape maybe a little bit earlier than maybe some teams?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, what we ask of the guys is really hard. So at first there's a lot of consternation, like, hey, you know, what are we going to do? And then say, hey, am I doing it right? Now we have a bunch of guys that they know what's asked of them, they know what's expected, they know what the standards are. And more importantly, most of these guys have kind of, you know, they've changed the standard. They've set their own standards. And so, yeah, I mean, it's night and day from where we were, and that's no slight. I mean, the guys the first year, I'm so grateful for them. They just went into this, like, you know, not knowing what was coming their way. And now, you know, like I said, these guys all know, you know, they all know what's expected.
When do you know that it's a player-led group?
I think, to your point, I think when you start seeing them, I always feel like when you start seeing them really start to do things together outside of, you know, when you start feeling that, then you know, hey, you got chemistry. I tell the guys, I've told them the story when I was at Temple. I remember seeing like an Instagram post after a spring practice, like after our 2 years, and it was a bunch of different guys on the team, you know, of different races, different classes, different ages, and they were all out at a block party on a Saturday afternoon cookout type deal, and they had posted a picture that said La Familia. And I was like, oh, they get it. Like, they get the whole thing now. And then we went off and we were really good. And so I think when these guys decided, hey, you know, we're going to build our own leadership groups, and we're going to, not something that we invented, that they did it, you know, they started telling me about it. And I said, no, you don't tell me about it. You guys do it. I think that's when I was like, hey, we have a chance. Now, the key is you look at the two teams who played for national championship last year. You look at Notre Dame. And the point I made to our team is, you know, cause obviously we have Rocco there. On the same day that we beat Colorado, and we were so ecstatic, and the stadium was on fire, Notre Dame was losing that same very same day to Northern Illinois. And you go to the end of the year, you know, when we watched Ohio State, you know, they lost to Michigan. Both those teams took really, really devastating losses and used that as the fuel to come together and spur on a title run. And so who will we be this year coming up? When we have that moment, maybe it's a quarter, maybe it's a play, maybe it's something that who knows what it is. But when we have the adversity that most teams have, you know, who will we be then? And that's, to me, is that's truly when player-led comes to fruition. So I love where we're at, and there'll be a lot of great tests along the way.
You've talked a lot about just with the changing of times and even just going back to the Husker games and just being able to adapt and kind of stay ahead of the curve. What has allowed you, what's gone into that for you to be able to constantly do that and making sure that you are ahead of the curve and where this thing is going?
Yeah, I think it's the fact that I'm really not afraid of if I'm being criticized. I'm really not afraid of if I'm trending on Twitter. You know, I mean, no one wants that, right? But we were one of the first ones that said, hey, we're not going to do a spring game. You know, I was one of the first ones who said, hey, this is what it costs to go get a quarterback in the portal. Like, controversial statements at the time that have proven to be, you know, routine and true. And so I think the fact that we as a staff will be authentic, we'll say what's true, we're not going to be afraid of, oh, gosh, what would one say? I think that allows us to be ahead, because a lot of people probably also had that decision, hey, we're not going to play a spring game. But when we said it, took a little heat for it, and, you know, nationally, and then after that, soon thereafter, everyone was doing it. So I just think it's our job to worry about the final result, to worry about the players, to worry about what's best for them, best for Husker football, best for the fans. And, you know, sometimes things might be unpopular, but I hope that we've carried ourselves in a way that people know that we're doing the best thing that we think we can do to help the program move forward.
Absolutely. Well, you also this spring had a lot of new coaches that you were working in, and you seem to really like the way they came together over the spring, but they're all different, right? So how do you go about identifying what's going to be a good fit for you and who's going to work well with your staff and what you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I think each one's a different story. You know, Dana is someone I had history with, right? And so I knew would be a good fit with me because of the time I spent with him, especially when I went to the NFL, we spent a lot of time together because he was a head coach at the time at Houston. So that was a great connection. So that one was easy in terms of, hey, I know we'll fit. As we went into the interview process, I think, you know, I've learned to take more time and interview more people. Do it a second time. Do it in person. Sometimes, you know, you're sitting there thinking about recruiting and, hey, we have to hurry up and get this done and get that done. But making sure we get the hires right, I think, is really important. So, you know, interviewing people on Zoom, following up with other phone calls, questions, talking to references, but then also bringing them in and spending time with them. You know, we were in this building so much during the season. You have to be with people. Not that it's not about liking. It's you know, who's like-minded, who believes in the same things you believe in, who do you want to, you know, sit in the foxhole with? And it's really hard when you don't know somebody. So I think spending enough time with people to really trust it, and then just, you know, hoping that we have enough discernment to make the right decisions. And I'm great, fired up about the group that we have. I mean, I think we have a bunch of coaches who blend the two things that I care about, a love of the game and winning and a love of players. And, you know, I don't want to sacrifice players' lives and health and all that to win. And I also don't want to sacrifice winning because, you know, we're not doing what it takes. I want to do both. And so I think we have the right guys.
Well, two of your staff that there's no doubt I know you want to be in the foxhole with Kristen Coggin and Corey Campbell. talking to so many players throughout the spring, they just brought those two up over and over and again, and about how good they feel with their bodies. And it just seems like that duo works so well together with their individual staffs. What is it about those two that they've been able to come together and do such a good job for your guys?
Well, you make a great point that Kristen and Corey are absolute difference makers. I would also want to throw in there, because from the health piece, Mitch Cholowinski, who's our head of our sports science, and then Drew Hamblin, who's head of athletic medicine. Most places, sometimes those guys are siloed, and these guys, they all work together. Dr. Mathiasen, like we have Dr. Beacon, we have just amazing people that all come together. But we also have people underneath them. We have elite assistant coaches. And we get a lot of people hired away from us because we have such good people. But you walk into the training room, you walk into the weight room, you know, you walk into the, you know, the training table, and you see Sarah and Julian. And I mean, we've got elite people. And so those people have all done a great job of hiring their staff, training their staff, and then trusting their staff. And so I think when the players know that they have someone that's a great resource who also cares about them, you know, they're going to utilize it. So especially guys who come from other schools and other great programs, they'll tell you, like, you know, it's just second to none here.
All right. Well, got camps, big session of camps coming up, and including a 7-on-7 camp. Tell us about that, why you wanted to bring that here to Nebraska this year.
Yeah, I've never really done a 7-on-7 before, but as we thought about, you know, kind of where we are and where we want to be, getting people on campus, getting people to Lincoln, I think is really important. And 7-on-7 has kind of morphed into its own sport. You know, people love it. You know, people all across the country love it, which is great. So, you know, we have a ton of space here to do it. I mean, we have a fan base that, you know, I think it'll be open to the public. I mean, they'll come watch. And there's not many places like that that can do that. You know, as we say, there is no place like Nebraska. And so imagine the top 2028, 2027, you know, kids in the country coming, you know, learning from our staff, building relationships, competing with their friends and teammates against great players across the country. But also imagine them staying here in Lincoln, coming over to the facilities, walking through these buildings, seeing what we have, going out and maybe playing a game in Memorial Stadium, looking up and seeing a crowd there to watch a 7-on-7 camp. I mean, they won't find that anywhere else. And so that's how we, I believe, it's not me, it's we as a city, as a state, as a fan base, as an athletic department, that's how we, you know, we help bring the swagger that we want, the attention that we want to the brand nationally. So I think it's going to be a pivotal moment for us.
So camps still are going to maintain being a big part of what you guys do and how you identify players and bring them in.
Yeah, you know, to me, as Bill Gates once said, information is the reduction of uncertainty. And so we want to have a camp to get as much information about the kids that are interested in us. I mean, we want to see how big, how fast, how explosive, how coachable, how everything the guys are. We want them to have information about us. Like, hey, what's it like to play for, you know, EJ? What's it like to play for Donnie? And have them get coached by us. And not everyone can play for Nebraska. But I want all these other kids to have this amazing experience coming here, whether it's the youth camp, whether it's the high school camps. I want them to come on campus, go in that stadium, have an amazing, amazing time here. So that someday they look back and, you know, they truly are fans because they've had amazing experiences in their formative years.
One of the camps I'm really excited about coming back this year is the She's Got Game camp with for girls that want to play football, and it's opened up to high school level as well. Why is that important for this program to provide that kind of opportunity for the young women that want to play football?
Well, you know, the NFL recognized not too long ago that, like, if they want to grow the game, the fastest way to grow the love of the game, the support, the coverage, all that, is to expand it and expand it to all the young women out there. And so we obviously have thousands and thousands and millions or whatever the number is of Husker women that love the team. But now 7-on-7 is becoming a sport and flag's becoming a sport. It's going to be an Olympic sport. It's going to be a college sport. So I just believe at the University of Nebraska, we are leaders and innovators in the game of football. You walk downtown, you see Huddle, you see Open Doors, and many more. Like, we've been innovators in the spaces around football. And so that's why we had a flag game during the spring game. We want to bring exposure to one of the fastest growing sides of the sport. And I love those camps. I love having a chance to work with the young ladies and young women that are going to be our future fans, and hopefully someday play for Husker women's flag.
Absolutely. Well, what's next for you? What does the calendar look like? You stay pretty busy?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of speaking engagements, you know, kind of go, not really when I say speaking engagements, you know, going across the country. Like, I'm going to go down to Orlando and be with John Gordon, the esteemed author, and he's got a, he's bringing 150 leaders together, and some, I'll speak for just a little bit, but you know, guys like Sean McVay, Kevin O'Connell, Dabo Sweeney, you know, just Eddie George, some business leaders, people in training. So I'll have a chance to really dive into some leadership stuff with those guys and some coaching stuff, hopefully. I'll go to Athletes First is having a summit, so I'll go down and talk about the state of the game and be with other leaders and innovators. And so it's really important to me that, A, we're represented at those things, that people see Nebraska, and B, that, you know, we're getting information and connections that no one else has. So we'll go to those things, and then we have Big Ten meetings. So look forward to getting out there, being amongst my fellow coaches, and sort of seeing a little bit of what the lay of the land is like. I don't know what's coming in football. But our commissioner, Tony Petitti, does a wonderful job, and so whatever is known, he'll know, and he'll share it with us at the meetings.
How does it feel different this summer, where you are now, compared to a year ago?
Oh, well, there's a lot more this year. You know, we're moving into this new world. We're starting with, you know, the house settlement and revenue sharing and roster limits. And so, you know, when you do stuff like that, you know, there's young people's lives are kind of in the balance. And so you feel a tremendous responsibility. At the same time, you know, there's, you know, you have to make sure you're on top of it on your end, because, you know, you can't go over the salary cap. You can't go over these things. So there's maybe a lot more different type of work now than there has been in the past. You know, as we come into official visits, recruiting, it's not just about who's good enough to come help you. It's who's good enough and what's their value. What's, you know, so there's a lot of work that we're doing. Pat Stewart's doing, our personnel staff's doing, that is new. So in that end, it's that. But I do think there's an excitement from our guys. I think we learned a lot last year. I think especially that period, you know, losing to Iowa, beating Wisconsin, losing to Iowa, then that, you know, sort of, hey, the portal opened, lost some coaches, lost some players. And then we went to the bowl game. I think at the bowl game, what they all recognized was, if we go there with a bunch of people who really want to be there, you know, great things can happen. And we had a great trip, you know, didn't have to discipline one player the entire week, even anything small, because they were grateful. They were grateful to be there, and I thought that was a turning point for our program and our team. Everyone we brought in, they've been grateful to be a Husker, or they're not here anymore. And I'm just excited about that. Like, when you have a good locker room and, you know, you enjoy being around the guys, anything's possible.
It's a fun group. There's no doubt about it. Coach, thank you so much for your time, and I guess we'll look forward to chatting with you soon.
Yep, thank you so much.